Welcome to CNN Student News, 10 minutes of cost-free current events coverage. I'm Carl Azus. It's great to see you this Tuesday. First up, a U.S. federal judge's ruling on a controversial policy of the Obama administration. It concerns gender and schools. The background. In May, the White House recommended that U.S. public schools allow transgender students to use the bathrooms or locker rooms that correspond with their gender identity. People who are transgender identify as a gender that's different than their biological sex at birth. The response. Supporters say without the new rules, transgender students would be separated and discriminated against in schools. But 23 states sued the federal government, saying the Obama administration was trying to illegally rewrite existing law and force radical changes on U.S. schools. If they don't follow the rules, they can lose education funding from the federal government. The ruling. Yesterday, a federal judge in Texas blocked the Obama administration's policy. He said the government didn't follow the right procedures in issuing the rules and that they go against U.S. laws that are already in place. The Obama administration can still appeal the ruling. For now, it means that the government cannot penalize the schools that don't follow the transgender policy. Up next, the Olympic cauldron has been extinguished in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. There were significant doubts going into these games about whether the economically struggling country would be able to pull them off. And not everything went exactly as planned. But concerns about terrorism and the Zika virus eventually gave way to headlines about gold medals and championship spirit, and Brazil successfully delivered South America's first ever Olympics. The closing ceremonies gave a good sense of where the torch will burn next. Will Ripley takes us to the scene of the 2020 Summer Olympics.
Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe dressed as Super Mario may have set the tone for Tokyo 2020, but few Japanese actually saw it live. Half a world away and 12 hours ahead of Rio, the Olympic closing ceremony was right in the middle of Tokyo's Monday morning commute and an approaching typhoon. Outdoor Olympic viewing parties were canceled, but a few gathered inside. We hope to see all of Japan's technology showcased in the next Olympics, says Koichi Suzuki, watching the closing ceremony on a huge HK TV.
You can see every tiny detail in HK.
HK, just a sample of the high-tech cool Tokyo 2020 organizers are promising. Super high-speed maglev trains, far faster than today's bullet trains. Robots doing everything from giving directions to driving taxis. Ambitious tech projects Japan hopes will impress crowds and boost the economy.
We are going to make these games, as I said, most innovative.
Hidetoshi Fujisawa is one of Tokyo 2020's executive directors. He says new technology and five new Olympic sports will draw new fans. Winning the Olympic bid 3 years ago was supposed to be Japan's badly needed comeback after years in the economic doldrums and the disasters in March of 2011 that killed thousands and shook Japan to the core. But problems have plagued Tokyo 2020 ever since. A scrapped Olympic stadium design, logo plagiarism allegations, construction delays, even a bribery investigation.
Has Tokyo bounced back from that?
I think so, yes. People are excited about it, and people are very much looking forward to Tokyo 2020.
Problems do persist. Many are worried about the growing multi-billion dollar price tag when Japan already has a huge national debt. The responsibility of cutting costs falls largely on Tokyo's new governor, Yuriko Koike, the first woman to hold the job. We don't know if our new governor can do the job yet, says Tomohiro Shimoyama, but we need more transparency when it comes to the Olympics.
We know the problem, and we are looking for the solution.
Now she carries an Olympic-sized burden, and with Tokyo Tower decked out in full Olympic colors, the countdown is officially on. Will Ripley, CNN, Tokyo.
It's not exactly a bridge over troubled water, but given that it's the highest and longest glass-bottomed bridge in the world, it'll still cause some shaky knees. It's almost 20 feet wide, but the real numbers are in its length, more than 1,400 feet, and its height, the valley floor, is almost 1,000 feet down. It just opened in China's Hunan province, stretching over the Zhangjiajie Grand Canyon. It can support as many as 800 people at a time. At one point, a car drove across it. But some might hesitate because last October, cracks appeared at a different glass walkway in China as people made their way across. Officials say that was just superficial damage, though. Glass-bottom tourist attractions have been popping up all over the world. On August 25, 1916, almost exactly 100 years ago, the U.S. National Park Service was established when President Woodrow Wilson signed the act that created it. As part of our continuing series on national parks, we're taking you to a place that predates the service itself. It's a volcanic formation with a flat top rising more than 1,200 feet over the state of Wyoming. And there's some controversy over what to call it and whether to climb it.
The 100th birthday of the National Park Service. And I'll be making history by joining record crowds. I've already gawked at Mount Rushmore. Now, a monument that sticks out on the Wyoming horizon.
My word! Look at that! Devil's Tower!
America's first national monument, dedicated in 1906. Internationally, it's perhaps better known for its starring role in a cult classic, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Impressive in pictures, huge in reality, rising more than 260 meters. But there's another side to this formation that much of the world hasn't seen. A sacred side.
We look at it as a church. We have to come here in respect.
Chief Arville Looking Horse is a 19th generation spiritual leader. Indigenous tribes have a history here that can be traced thousands of years.
So your tribe, the Lakota tribe, you call it Bear Lodge.
Yeah.
These other tribes also call it Bear Lodge.
Everybody called it the Bear Lodge. Yeah.
And somewhere it got translated into Devil's Tower.
You come up here to pray, is that correct?
Yes. We pray for peace, environment, and health and well-being. And that's the way it's always been.
How does it make you feel when you sit here, you and I are talking, we're enjoying the day?
I feel very connected.
The rock formation has become so popular, big crowds of tourists overflow the car park. Some come to get a look, others come to climb. They've been climbing Devil's Tower since the late 1800s, and today that's highly controversial.
Does it offend you that people climb Bear's Lodge?
You see such a sacred place climbing, making holes, it hurts us so much that it affects us spiritually.
Bear Lodge or Devil's Tower? To climb or not to climb? These are the issues the Park Service has to deal with every day. They are not easily resolved because they go to the divide that still exists between the two communities.
Before we go, you've heard the phrase, knocked it out of the park. Well, minor league baseball player Brandon Thomas recently did just that. What made it awesome was that it was a grand slam. What made it unforgettable was that it hit a truck in the parking lot. And it was Brandon Thomas's own truck. What are the chances of that? At least he didn't have to apologize to anyone but his windshield. His reaction, quote, definitely worth it. Of course, people were cracking up after the crack of the bat cracked up the truck. Can insurance shield Thomas from losses that come from a win? They'll probably tell him not to park so near the ballpark where a ball could park after getting knocked out of the park. I'm Carl Azus, having a ball on CNN Student News.